Taylor's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
I love my job. I love my job. I love my job. Yes, I love my job. I'll say it every time somebody asks me, I love my job. The reason is I get to drive cars for a living. I get to hang with the coolest people in the world. And even when I'm driving cars by myself, somebody will walk up and go, "Hey, man, nice car." And I'll go, "Really? You love the Kia Forte, huh?" Anyway, BJ Colleen is right here. And BJ, hi there. Hey, you know what? We're lucky people. You know that? We got the lucky, you know, what is it? The short straw? No, we got the long straw. I don't know. We got whatever straw means we got fun jobs. So yes. I feel very fortunate in my life for that and fortunate to have friends like you. And then, of course, after you is Carl Brower, my second best friend from Kelley Blue Book. And by the way, did you have any take on Brian France, the CEO, Generation 3 of NASCAR, you know, royalty, you might say, CEO of NASCAR, gets a DUI. Did that, you know, what did that say? What did you go?
Well, huh? It says that I think he's got problems, so he's drinking them away.
Yeah, you know? Right. I said that.
You know,
yeah.
And we all know what kind of state NASCAR's in, unfortunately. And he's, you know, what are you going to do? You're running a multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar corporation, and you're supporting people and drivers and the whole series. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure. That's not an excuse to drink and drive in any way, shape, or form, and he ought to be ashamed of himself. But, you know, the way CEOs are acting nowadays, nothing surprises me anymore. So. Yeah. You know, sad state. But
I hear you. I said to Ed, I said, you know, there's got think of the pressure on that guy's shoulders. And then, you know, he says, look, there's, you know, we all have pressure. Damn it. Right. I mean, yes, we do all have pressure. I'm dealing with everybody listening. You're all dealing with. Yes. Let's all go have a big beer party.
Well, you can, just don't drink and drive. And of all people, he should have known that. You know, you've got enough money. Get a driver. You want to go drinking? Get a driver. It's not that hard. Get an Uber. Come on.
Right. You know, it's funny. And I don't think like that so much as far as getting an Uber, because I always have a car and I don't drink. You know that. You've known me 20 years. I don't drink.
Yes.
My friend, I said to him, he's going to go to Hot August Nights with me. And he's like, I said, how are you going to get around? If you're hanging around with me, you're going where I'm going. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, I live in a world of Uber. I go, Uber? Oh, yeah. You could fly in somewhere and not have to go rent a car anymore, which is a pain in the freaking anyway. But you can Uber or Lyft yourself wherever you want to go these days. The world we live in is just different. It's like in the last decade, it went from, you know, the old way of doing things to the new way of doing things. So, yeah, I think you're right. Well, he wasn't using his head right there, was he?
You can always cab it, too, you know. I mean, it's just
What?
Yeah. You know, you still got to jump in a cab in New York City. I mean, there are Ubers and stuff like that. But, you know, the cabs are right there. They're pretty convenient. They're all over the place.
Well, that's New York City, too. But
yeah, anyway. But they're expensive. So that's why Uber came around, because it's a less expensive alternative.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
All right.
So I have, you know, got a huge list of things we're going to be talking about on the show today. And Carl's going to talk about the Bullitt Mustang. He's going to talk about e-tron from Audi, which is an electric, you know, competitor to the Teslas and the I-Pace Jaguars. And,
yeah.
And then he's going to, of course, we're going to geek out. I always say, you know, my geek fest with Carl. What do I get to geek out with you for?
We're going to chat a little bit, if we have time, about the premium utility sales. And I'm talking not just sales, but the vehicles in general. You know, those that fall in the middle of the luxury segment, like BMW X5 and Lexus RX 350. You know, there's almost 20 models of those vehicles in the luxury segment. So there's a lot to talk about here.
Blue Oyster Cult, don't fear the Reaper.
More cowbell.
The reason why I'm playing this is because all the car manufacturers are starting to fear the Reaper, because cars are going away. I mean, look at Ford. They don't care about cars, trucks, and SUVs. You know, All right, we'll take a break. You guys looking for cars? Looking for something new, a new SUV? You've tuned into the right spot on the dial, baby. It's The Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Hang tight, sit down, put your seatbelt on, relax, stop walking on the walking machine. We got important stuff to talk about here. Cars, driving SUVs, driving trucks, whatever you want to talk about. By the way, you're listening to The Drive. I want to talk a little bit, don't let me forget BJ, BJ Colleen's on the line, about the new Ford Super Crew that I was driving, the new diesel
V6. Big Mac Daddy, huh?
No, half-ton F-150. With a power stroke diesel.
F-150.
Yeah.
All right.
So let me get to that when you get done, because we got three segments together. Two more anyway. So premium SUVs, here's the deal. Ford says we're not going to be building too many cars anymore because guess what? People want to take their junk with them. They want SUV. They want sport utility. They want crossover, which is a glorified car that looks like an SUV in essence. It's, it used to be a body on frame like a truck. That was called an SUV. Now these days, you really got to ask, is this a unitized construction? Is it body on frame? Is it a car that is shaped like an SUV? They call those crossovers. So premium, though, now we're getting somewhere. People are like, I don't care that I can climb up the side of a mountain with this. Let's just say Land Rover, Range Rover, whatever you want to call it. I love it because it's the most comfortable, most utility type machine I've ever found in my life that does everything for me. And it'll climb up the side of a mountain like a billy goat. But they never even do that. Zero. How many times? Zero. Anyway, over to you.
Well, some of them can climb up the hill like a billy goat, the Range Rovers, put it past them. But there are so many that people, you're right. They're trading in their cars. They want something. And I know for me, especially, I like to sit up a little bit higher. I like to see what's going on in traffic over all those big Super Crew F-150s and everything. So that's why I like my Lincoln MKC. But that's kind of a compact vehicle where you move up a little bit to scale and you've got the new Lincoln Nautilus coming out. And that replaces the Lincoln MKX.
Right.
What's funny is a lot of vehicles in this segment are former models of something else, like the Cadillac XT5 was previously the SRX. The Mercedes-Benz GLE was previously the M-Class. So I don't know what the whole point is behind changing names. Is it to get people to look at them a little bit differently or what it is? But the big daddy in this one is the Lexus RX because it pretty much outsells everything else by leaps and bounds. It's amazing. It sold, I think, like 108,000 last year, and the next closest competitor was Cadillac XT5 that sold 68,000. So people are madly in love with the Lexus. They like the quality. They like the convenience. I don't know about the styling. It's got that spindle grill, which to me looks really horsey. I'm not a big fan of the way the Lexus vehicles look, and I don't know if you are either.
All right. Listen, you want to shove a cow off the train tracks? I'm joking.
But the bottom line is, Lexus did something different. They were always being accused of being very plain Jane, and same with Toyota. But they went maybe a little too far the other way. But I think the bottom line is that people looking for a vehicle in this segment not only are looking for luxury features, and any single one of these models is loaded with luxury, from the Audi Q5 to, the BMW, Mercedes, even the Jaguar, but they're looking to be treated properly at the dealership. And I think that's something that the Lexus owners definitely get. Lincoln has caught on. They're doing this more and more. Mercedes-Benz, absolutely. So it's interesting because if you look at the models across the lineup, and I've been doing some comparisons, they're all roughly a decent price. They start between 40 and go up to 60. If you're going to go with the top line BMW M series or the AMG Mercedes, obviously it's going to be a lot more than that. Pretty much every vehicle either has a V6 or they've got a 2-liter turbo, and eventually they will all have 2-liter turbos. They've got 8-speed, 7-speed automatic transmission, so the fuel economy is about the same. So it's a really tough segment for people that want to play in this area. So, what are you going to be looking for? You're looking for features? You're looking for safety? Are you looking for value? Are you looking for how you're treated at the dealership? So if you're in the market for this vehicle, you're going to have a tough time. There's no question, because there's so much to offer from every single one of these manufacturers. Now, obviously, I've been driving the Lincoln a little bit, and I can't talk about the driving of it, but I do know that it has a lot of great...
The Nautilus?
The Lincoln Nautilus, which was formerly the MKX.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and what I like about the Nautilus and other Lincoln vehicles, and a lot of the competition too, is there's a lot of driver assist features. Mm-hmm. And this is an area that people really need to spend a little bit of time learning. You know, we're talking the lane keeping system, and pre-collision assist with pedestrian detection. Ford is introducing evasive steer assist that's going to help you steer around an object. Automatic emergency braking. You know, everybody's either got that standard or available, and that'll come to a complete stop. And even post-impact braking, where after you've had a collision, if the airbag sensors go off, it's going to apply moderate brake pressure to stop you from rolling into a secondary collision. So many great features. You know, it's tough to recommend them, but I'm telling you, you got to go out there and do your homework.
You know what? Go drive, test drive these things. But I got to tell you, you're talking about the lane keep assist. The one thing, my biggest problem with that is, but then also it's kind of cool because if my wife says, you're changing lanes and you're not doing it, I want to say, shut up. But when the car does it, I go, shut the heck up. So it's like, when people see me, who are you yelling at in your car? You're by yourself. I'm yelling at the car. It's vibrating my butt cheek. It's wiggling my arms because the steering goes. Anyway, we'll be right back with more of this kind of shenanigans. It's The Drive.
Let's delay our misery. Say tonight. Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman Mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Hey, thanks to our friends at Brembo Brakes, Choice of Champions, for sponsoring our show. They give me artistic license to say things like shiznit, like this. That's a word I made up, so when I get excited, I can not swear and get in trouble with the FCC.
I don't think you made up that word. I think that was Snoop Dogg's word.
No, you know who it was? It was.
Who was it?
It was from Monster Garage. It was the big swag. The big swag from Monster Garage.
Oh. Yeah. So, okay.
Well, it's a made up word. Anyway, I won't take credit for it. Fair enough. She's a copy editor. She does this to me, right?
Yeah, I call you on the carpet. Yeah, that's what I do.
And I spelled heel. I spelled heel the wrong way the other day. And she's like, on Facebook, she's like, if you only knew how to spell heel.
I can't help it.
Did you notice how I deleted your comment and I deleted it and I fixed the way I said. I don't want to look like an idiot. I don't want to look like a heel.
Yeah, I make mistakes too. I always fix them. I edit it and correct it too.
Oh, well, that's life. All right, so here's the deal. You were talking about premium SUVs. How about premium trucks?
Oh, amazing pricing.
Right? But here's the thing. Yes, they're wonderful. They're delicious. They're delightful. They're, for me, most better than even my marriage. But I'm joking. No, I'm not. Anyway, but the 2018 F-150 4x4 Ford with the brand new 3-liter V6 turbo diesel engine that'll get 30 miles to the gallon on the highway. Now, 10-speed automatic transmission with tow package, tow haul, to where you can, you know, change the algorithm of the transmission by pushing a button. And it's just wonderful. I drove this thing all the way to Newport Beach. It's 1,000 miles each way. And I asked permission from Ford because they don't like, you know, I'm abusive. I put miles on like crazy. And they're like, yeah, go ahead. I drove the thing like it was a sports car. I'm driving 90, I'm driving 60, I'm driving 40. And that's usually when the speed limit is half of that, right?
Yeah.
So this cop came by the other day and he goes, are you that car guy? I go, yeah. Why? Did you give me a ticket recently? And he goes, no. I said, you will. Don't worry about it. Anyway. But I love this thing. I loved it. Loved it.
What kind of fuel economy did you get? I mean, being a diesel.
Well, here's the deal. If you drive it like it should be driven,
Yes.
You're going to get, you know, on the freeway, on the highway, you're going to get 28, 29, 30 miles to the gallon. I don't drive it like that. And so what I did is I drove it to where I could see that I could get that. And yes, it says how many miles per gallon you're getting. And I'm like, okay, now let's take it on up to 80 and see what it does. It still didn't do too bad. And, you know, at 85, 90, then it starts really affecting the fuel economy. So my overall trip, 2,000 miles, overall trip, driving like a freaking maniac. Forgive me for that word, but it didn't actually come out the way I wanted it to. But anyway, the point is, I got 22 miles to the gallon average, and I was driving like a maniac because it's L.A. driving, mountain driving, going through the mountains of Siskiyou Mountain Range. But I got to tell you, I was never uncomfortable. I was never a want for anything. This particular one was beautiful. It was platinum white and with a Java Kingsville leather, because it was a King Ranch 10-speed automatic transmission. It handles so good. But let me just tell you, here's the downside. The downside is you got to pay for that love. $74,295. $74,000. Starts out life at $55,000 as a 2018 F-150 Super Crew. Then you can add the preferred equipment group, which is the King Ranch stuff, $3,700. The 3-liter V6 Power Stroke Turbo Diesel, $3,000. Then it has the King Ranch Chrome Package, $1,900. On and on and on and up to, you know, the destination delivery, $74,000. And I got a friend of mine the other day. He drives up in his F-250 crew cab diesel. And I go, what'd you pay for that thing? And he said, I don't know, it's, you know, like $80,000 or something. He's the happiest guy in the world. It's like, I thought, you know what? I guess that's the beauty of America. If you got the money and you can afford, I said to him, how can you afford? He goes, my business, write off. It's a write-off. His business is buying. He's not paying taxes. Instead of paying taxes, he's buying that truck. God bless America. That's what
I say. Well, you know, people don't want to be without any of the creature comforts and luxuries. I mean, they're buying the top-of-the-line models. I don't even know why they're making base models anymore, because there's nobody buying them. They want all the bells and whistles. And they don't care what it costs to do it, because you're right. We're either leasing the car or, you know, we're using it for business. So it's wonderful.
You know what? And that's the thing. I understand that because I'm an entrepreneur, and I wish more entrepreneurs would realize that they could have the car or their vehicle of their dreams if they look into their tax laws of their state and realize potentially that $900 a month payment or whatever it is a write-off. So check it out, everybody. Be an entrepreneur and go look into it. All right, so coming up next, we're going to be talking with Carl Brower. Carl's going to talk about the e-tron from Audi. I guess they took it up to Pikes Peak. He's going to tell us a little bit about that. He's also going to talk about the Bullet Mustang. Did you go to the Bullet Mustang event?
No, I was out of town.
What the? How did we, you and I, the pair of us, how did we miss? Oh. Anyway, and then let's see. I think that's probably it for this hour of the show. So Carl's next. Carl's also buying his Ford GT. I think he'll give us a little update on that. BJ, are you're writing for something for Las Vegas lately? Is that what it is?
Just a couple little things. Nothing big. So yeah. Las Vegas Voice and a couple other things. I did something in Arizona Driver. You know, I'm all over the place.
She also does the blog at The Drive with Alan Taylor. You can check that out. The Drive with Alan Taylor. She's on this show often. She's the best. She's my friend. She's my pal. I love you!
Too, Alan.
All right. We're going to take a little break here, pay some bills. We appreciate all our great sponsors, including Bridgestone. And we've had them for a good long time. They're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. We'll be right back with Carl Brower.
It's the Dodge Summer Clearance Event. Hurry in and make summer sizzle with Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower. Blister the road with Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class, or Dodge Durango. Want something even hotter? Get up to 6 months of Apple Music on us when you join the Brotherhood of Muscle at the Dodge Summer Clearance Event. Based on Ward's Middle Specialty Vehicle segment, visit Dodge.com/Apple for details. Apple is a registered trademark of Apple Inc. Apple is not a sponsor of this promotion. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
So I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, you really
It is time. It's time for me to geek out with Carl Brower. That's what we're going to call this. Geeking out with Carl Brower from Kelley Blue Book. Can I call it that, Carl? Do you think Kelley Blue Book will get all mad at us?
I like that. No, I think that's got some equity in that name. That's
geek
good.
Out. All right, everybody. Carl Brower, executive publisher, Kelley Blue Book, auto trader, dealer.com. The man is a giant. He's big, too. Anyway.
And not just in the bad way, cholesterol and all that.
Well, listen, following BJ Killeen, you better have your game on, okay? That's all I can tell you.
True.
But here's the deal. I have a question. So I did not get to go. I had duties. As you know, I have elderly parents, and I've been taking care of them lately. 90 and 87, by the way, everybody. 90 and 87. But I had to miss the Mustang Bullet in San Francisco, the brand new Mustang Bullet where they made the movie Bullet, and I'm sure they did all the stuff that was reminiscent, and it's like, oh, please just go ahead and tell us what I missed, what we missed, what they're going to get to see or hear or read you talk about the Bullet.
Alan, it was the coolest press intro I've ever been to.
You're such a jerk.
It must have been out of it. Oh, wait, sorry.
I know it was. I saw the pictures, but go ahead.
No, it was pretty cool. I mean, you got to be almost envious of Ford, right? I mean, talk about a position to be in when it comes to timeless, iconic cars that no one else can really create a precedent or a model around.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's been plenty of cool Hollywood cars. Ford doesn't have, own the franchise on that.
Sure.
But certainly when it comes to famous police chases and cars that have gone down in the history of ones that people just lust after and wish they could get, the dark Highland green fastback 68 Mustang GT390 from that show is just an amazing icon. Again, everyone knows it. Everyone loves it. And to keep kind of reviving it, it could easily feel kind of tired or belabored, but it doesn't. This is the third time they've done it. I own the first generation, the 2001 Bullet Mustang. It was an extremely good execution between the look and the performance that you got out of it. Just, basically a GT with just some little extras and some subtle styling differences. They did it again in 2008, 2009, again well executed, and they did it again for 2019 and 2020. And I think it's the best one yet. Third time's a charm. This one's even better than the other two.
Well, what's funny is, like you said, they keep redoing these things. But you know what? There's one thing that will never go away is the iconicness of the Bullet Mustang, the movie The Bullet, Steve McQueen. I don't think they should ever do away with keeping up with the new Mustang and the newest horsepower. So the question is then, what did they do with the keeping upness of this new Mustang Bullet? Can I use that word? It's a bad one. You know what I mean?
And you're right. And the fact that they're usually putting about a decade between each of these is perfect, right?
Because
it's making it something special. It doesn't feel like, okay, here this one comes again. It's like by the time a decade's gone by, you're ready for another one.
Yeah, a refresh.
Yeah. And this is the first one with an independent rear suspension. As we know, the Mustang was redesigned in 2015. So this is the first Bullet Mustang that's got an independent rear.
Mm.
The previous horsepower was 265 in the 01 and then 315 in the 8 and the 9. This one's 480.
Oh
my gosh. The horsepower has jumped substantially in the last 10 years since they did this. And so is the handling because of the independent rear suspension. But yet the trademark elements of a Bullet Mustang, the dark Highland green paint, the screaming exhaust, the ripping exhaust that just sounds so cool, and even like the five-spoke wheels, retro wheels, they're all right there. It's a 6-speed manual only. There is no automatic version of a Bullet Mustang.
Wow.
And it's just a gorgeous car in terms of its looks, and it just performs exactly like you want it to. The whole point of Officer Frank Bullet in the movie was this kind of understated, authentic, straightforward cop, not a guy who's into a bunch of frilly graphics or over the top styling. And every Bullet Mustang has followed that mantra, and I think that's why they've been so well received. They hold their value pretty well too. You go back and look for used Mustangs, and the Bullets are consistently a chunk higher on the used market than the regular GTs, even though they're very similar mechanically.
And this is a little bit akin to even a Shelby version of a Mustang, right? I mean, if there was one step down from a Shelby, it would probably be a Bullet. But it's funny. I was thinking, though, you said, you know, so 2001, 265 horsepower. 10 years later, 315 horsepower. 10 years later, or whatever it is, 480 horsepower. I wonder what the original Bullitt Mustang had in 68.
It's a 390 V8. I'm going
to... It was a 390? Okay, it could have had some horsepower, yeah.
I probably had around 300. I bet it had around 300, maybe even 335, something like that.
With a 390.
It was a lighter car, too, don't forget.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. And, you know, they debadged it in the movie, so that didn't have any GT badges, even though it would have normally. And then, of course, they put on the torque thrust wheels that were different from any wheels you were supposed to be able to get from Ford. Mm. So McQueen did just enough little subtle tweaks to it that it didn't scream at you, but you knew it wasn't just your standard GT. And that's exactly what every one of the production versions has done. And it's, like I said, they know why the original is so special, and they do a very good job of recreating that and being able to go in the showroom and buy one. And by the way, don't forget, this is the first time the Bullitt Mustang, just like the regular Mustang, is global. That means you can buy a Bullitt Mustang in other countries, just like you can now buy a Mustang in other countries. This car is the best-selling car. The Mustang is the best-selling sports car in Germany, home of the 911, for instance. So the Ford folks were telling us, it's like, yeah, we're only going to do this 2 years. There's not an unlimited supply. Getting the little bits and pieces for this car is, you know, not unlimited. We have a set amount we can produce. And they're basically like, we're already getting a lot of interest and demand from some of these other markets outside the U.S.
Did they give you a price on it, and when's it going to be available?
I believe they're in showrooms now. Oh. I was on the Auto Trader listings, and there were dealers that were listing them. I don't know if they have them in the showroom or if they're still on the truck just about to arrive, but you can basically start arranging to purchase one right now and probably have it in less than a month or even a couple of weeks.
For how much?
Today. The starting price is $47,000, I want to say. It's in my story. Ooh. And if you load it up with every option, it's right at $53,000. But even basic comes pretty well equipped. So.
Wow. My GT500 in 2007 was $50,500 or something. With 500 horsepower, I was pretty proud of that machine. And I thought, I will buy one of these because they'll never do this again. You're never going to see more than 500 horsepower. Now we got 840 horsepower in the Demon, and now 797 in the Red Eye from Dodge. We know a new GT500 is coming soon from Ford. It's got to be at least 700 horsepower. We'll find out. Carl, don't go anywhere. I want to find out more from you about the other cars you've been driving. Carl Brower, KBB.com. I heard a story. Where's it going to be?
It's going to be at Kelley Blue Book. Go on KellyBlueBook.com or search it, Kelley Blue Book Bullet.
Okay, there you go. We'll be right back. It's The Drive. Now I'm back on my feet, just a man and his will to survive. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And our special guest, who is my pal, my friend, a car geek like me, like a lot of you that listen to this geeky show. He's, matter of fact, we'll hear about, he's getting ready to lock in his order on his new Ford GT, one of the lucky 500 or whatever it is that got to buy one worldwide, Carl Brower. So before we get to that, though, I know that you just kind of have a story that just hit the Audi e-tron. Many people don't even know what that is. Help us out, Carl. Carl Brower.
This is exciting, Alan. We've been watching the electric car try to, gain traction and become a viable alternative for about 20 years now, starting with the General Motors EV1 back in the 90s. And actually, what is that, 30 years? I don't know. It's a long time. So now it's 20 years. It's 20 years. But we now have the Audi e-tron, and it's going to be for sale. You can start putting your order in on September 17th. They're going to do a big unveil up in San Francisco. And it's not actually going to hit showrooms for probably almost another year, give or take. But you can start to get your order in now. This is essentially an Audi competitor to the Model X from Tesla. It's an SUV, or it looks a lot, it's like a slightly larger Q5 if you want to also have a vision in your head. And it's a pure EV. It's going to get like 200 plus miles, probably like 250 plus miles on a tank of charge versus gas. You know, when you fully charge, it'll go 250 miles. It's going to do 0-60 in under 6 seconds, probably around 5 seconds. So it's going to be quick. And it's got an Audi design inside and out, which means, of course, it's beautiful. Mm. Nobody's driven this car yet. It's still too far out. But they did let a small group of people ride in the car from the top of Pikes Peak, which is 14,500-foot elevation and about 30 degrees, even in mid-July. Trust me, I know, or early August, because I was just there last week. And we went from 14,500 feet down to about 7,000 feet in 20 miles. So you're on this rapid downhill descent around twisting roads, starting out above Timberline. Looks like the moon surface up there.
Right.
And the car is regenerating energy the whole time. And it was fun because I grew up in Golden, Colorado. And I remember once we started getting into the EV thing, thinking, boy, it'd be cool if you could like start at like Eisenhower Tunnel with like almost a dead EV and see where you ended up by the time you got to like Georgetown or Golden, because you're coming all downhill. Well, that's essentially what these guys did. They wanted to show not how fast you can race up Pikes Peak, which is a common metric that you've probably heard of people doing, how much energy we can recapture coming down Pikes Peak.
All right, before you give it away, let me give people an example. The last time I was at Pikes Peak was with Bobby Unser, who they call it Unser Mountain because of Bobby Unser and the Unser family. Did a lot of racing up Pikes Peak in Colorado. And it was with Porsche. And when they came out with the new Cayman Turbo, and they wanted to show what this SUV is. Cayman's the SUV, right? I get it mixed up.
Yeah.
Right? So they wanted to show what this thing could do going uphill. And then we turned around and came back. And, I mean, when I got up there, I was driving on the way up, and Bobby Unser got behind the wheel on the way down. And holy mackerel, that guy can drive. But the point is that when we stopped at the bottom, the brakes caught on fire, Carl. They caught on fire, and Bobby Unser goes, you better take this thing and drive it around a little bit and cool off them brakes. So I was like, okay. But here's the thing. When you're regenerating, you're using regenerative braking, you're not actually using the brake shoes. It's actually it's slowing it down by like a big generator that kicks in. Am I right? You could probably give a better detailed explanation. But
no, you're 100% right, and it's great you brought that up. That's a really good segue because – not only are you recapturing the energy, but like you said, you're doing it from turning what is a motor when it's powering the car to move forward into a generator when it's slowing it down. And it'll slow the car down up to 0.3 Gs. And then after, if you need more stopping power than that, that's when the brakes will start to come in. But even when you apply full braking, the first 0.3 Gs worth of braking force, even if you're using a full G because you're standing on the brake pedal, goes into charging. So it's always using the charging up to that level, even if it needs more braking power than that for an emergency situation or coming down a steep hill.
So did you have any heating problems on the brakes at all? I mean, I can't imagine so.
It was awesome. There's a place about halfway down, probably where you guys stopped and they were on fire, that's like the steepest part coming down the mountain. And they check your brakes. There's a setup gate, and they check your brake temperature to make sure that your brakes aren't overheating before you keep going down the mountain. Because if they are, and you have another couple turns, and they're continuing to get hotter, you might just go straight when you wanted to turn and go off the cliff.
You're losing them brakes.
So, yeah, the brakes could be fried, and only like a couple miles into the drive, because that top part's the steepest part. So they stop us there. They have their little like air temperature thing. You know, they point the temperature and pick up the arrow and pick up the temperature on a digital reader that's handheld. And he does the ambient temperature of the road, and it was 40 degrees. I'm telling you, it was cold up there. This was down a ways, and it was still 40 degrees. Then he points it at the rotor. You know what the rotor was?
Sure. Well, how much?
48 degrees. The rotor was 8 degrees hotter than the freaking road, the ambient temperature
that
of the road.
That is so awesome, man. So that's crazy.
And the guy was like, okay, you're okay. You can keep going.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
For those of us that know how crazy it is, it's really crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, you just generate mess. And think about it, they're putting cars like on 4GTs that are made of ceramic because of how hot they get, so that things won't overheat and all. This thing went up 8 degrees Fahrenheit coming down the steepest part of the mountain.
All right, let me ask you, is this story Audi e-tron autotrader.com?
It's on Kelley Blue Book also.
Okay.
So if you do a search for Kelley Blue Book Audi e-tron, it should pop right up for you.
All right.
Or you can use my name, Carl Brower. Carl Brower e-tron, it'll pop right up.
All right. Well, if you guys are interested in this type of a thing, if you're a Tesla fan, here you go. Another competitor. We'll take a little break. We've got one more with Carl right on the other side. Kelly Blue Book, Auto Trader, dealer.com. This is Auto Trader. No, this is The Drive. We'll be right back. Don't let me down.
Haynes, the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information for over 50 years, is now available in electronic format with Haynes Manuals Online. You get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manuals, but with added features including over 750 color photographs, color wiring diagrams, and videos to help you do the job right. They're formatted for all electronic devices, and over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle titles are now available. The new Haynes Manuals Online are now available at Haynes.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And thanks to our friends at Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I always say, just ask somebody that owns one. One of our sponsors. Carl Brower is joining us, Kelly Blue Book. I always had a Kelly Blue Book in my back pocket when I was a dealer many decades ago. I think I still have the pants. I don't throw things away. I'm a hoarder. And it looked like I had cigarettes in my back pocket. Nope, it was the outline of a Kelly Blue Book. Now it's all online, KBB.com. Also, they own Autotrader.com and Dealer.com. That's all under the Cox Communications or Cox Automotive. And Carl Brower is the executive publisher. Hey, we talked about the Mustang Bullitt that is available now. We talked a little bit about the Audi e-tron and going to be a competitor to like the Jaguar I-Pace. Is that right? The Jaguar I-Pace?
Yep, that's right.
And maybe another competitor is the Tesla machines, because here it is electric, right?
Yep, Model X, it's another pure electric. You know, we're going to be, I was going to say, you know, they're going to be raining down on us. You might take out an umbrella soon, because in the next 2 years, you're going to have really great pure EVs, a lot of them SUVs, raining from the skies, and you'll be able to pick one of 10 in the next couple of years.
Well,
be nice.
You know, as Clint Eastwood said, you can pull my demon out of my hands with my cold, dead hands or whatever. You know, it's like a gun, you know, you tear it out of my cold, dead hands. But anyway, I say that now. I know you drive a little Fiat 500e electric because you're close to town. It's brilliant, smart. What is it, like $49 a month you got that thing for?
Yeah, $49 a month, like, for a three-year lease.
You got to do that. You got to do that. I would do it.
It's a free car.
Yeah, it's
Dude,
a free
it's
car.
It's saving me more than $49 a month in gas money.
Exactly.
In the car that my wife used to drive. So it basically paid for itself before I ever bought it.
As long as they don't take away our demons and our Vipers and our Corvettes and our Mustangs and our Camaros and whatever else we want to drive, they can keep on bringing these cool things out like the Audi e-tron and all these. It's great. There's got to be room for everybody in the hot tub. Scoot over. The water's warm. Come on in. But you didn't talk about how much it's going to cost. Did they even give you that at this point?
They haven't officially released pricing, but because it'll be an I-Pace competitor, about the same size and all, and same performance, figure somewhere around $65 starting price probably for the new Audi e-tron. But it really is beautiful. Like I said, it's an Audi. It looks good inside and out. The interior is beautiful. By the way, they have these super cool rearview mirrors I have to mention briefly. Cameras pointed on the outside of the car, pointed back normally where your exterior mirrors would be, but much smaller, so less air resistance, better in dynamics. And then inside, kind of where, you know, forward in the front part of the door, right where it would meet the dash, a little monitor, and there's your rear view. Totally sharp, high resolution, no obstruction, no blind spot. Pretty cool.
I like it. I know you've got, you're one of the luckiest men in our industry that has a Ford GT coming. What's the update on that? It's been a process.
Just that I'm getting the color locked in. You know, it's agonizing. They call it the paradox of choice, right? You give someone a choice of one or two or three, they're going to pick one pretty quickly. You give them a choice of 300, the brain just freezes up. And that's what happens with Ford GTs. You know, you can paint the sample of the car and make it whatever color you want if you don't like the original eight colors it comes in. So I've struggled, but I've got my color locked in now. I've got the specifications of it that I want locked in, and it's pretty much a done deal. I'm going to talk to the guy later this week and should be able to say, go. And that means I can start actually, you know, putting it through the system and getting it built for me.
So lucky. So, you know, fortunate is another word for it too, because
luck is one thing. Fortune favors the bold, and you have definitely been bold. You've been a good man. I consider you one of my dearest friends in this whole world. I love what kind of a man that you are, a father, a husband, a friend, an executive publisher. You're just a good dude. Any other news, by the way, you can share? Anything interesting while I play a little Oh Yeah from Ferris Bueller's Day Off on The Demon? Have you done anything fun in The Demon lately?
I'm going to try to take it to another quarter-mile event with some good mass traction, making the track sticky in a couple weeks here up there at Formosa, where I do my best time so far. I really want to do a 9. I've done a 10-2-3. I want to do a 9 with the factory, everything, including the tires.
Nice. All right, so I gave you all those compliments. You got any for me? Come on, hurry up. I don't know how much time left.
Alan, I really like the way you say the word auto. I think you say auto better than anyone else.
Oh, geez, shut
you're
up. All right,
Alan,
Carl.
You're the man. Last thing you need is me telling you what you are.
I'm just Carl Brower, you can find him at carlbrower.com or Auto Trader, Kelly Blue Book, dealer.com. He's the executive publisher, doing a great job getting us all the information we need about cars. We're honored to have him and the other folks we have, like Brian Moody, who was on the show today. And we really respect you guys. That's about it for me. And don't forget, check out my Facebook page, The Drive with Alan Taylor. And thanks to all our great sponsors. We don't let any on this show that aren't the best. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Yes, I do. I love my job. I swear I love my job. I love it. I love it. I love it. Who wouldn't love it? I get to test drive cars for a living. I love it. You know who else loves his job? Brian Moody from Autotrader.com. We get to test drive cars, Brian. How good is that?
It's not bad.
Right?
I'll take it.
Yeah.
A
couple of things, by the way. We've got a pretty cool hour lined up here for you peoples. I don't usually do this where I can kind of preload what I'm going to talk about, but just in case, first of all, with Brian Moody, he's going to talk about Tacoma, Toyota Tacoma versus the Chevrolet Colorado. It is Chevy, right? Yeah, because there's GMC makes a Canyon, I think. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but they're similar, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's some new tool the Auto Trader has. We're gonna find out about that. But then we go to George Kennedy from, what is he from? Like the Boston Globe or something like that, and I don't know where else. He's got car gurus and all that. Anyway, and then we're going to talk to Ed Justice, and Ed's going to talk about, I don't know if you heard about this, but in the news last weekend, Sunday night, the CEO of NASCAR, Brian France, got a DUI, got in big trouble. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Anyway, but you have about 4 minutes to give us the down low on the difference between Tacoma and Colorado, of which then, if they don't hear enough, they can go to your website, autotrader.com, and hit up the car reviews, you know. So give us, what did you like? What is the differences that you, that stood out most?
Well, we do a whole bunch of these comparisons every year, like which one is best, basically. And, you know, sometimes when you go for a minivan, let's say, which one is best, the Odyssey or the Pacifica, you know, it's hard to really say if you include things like resale value and all that. In this case, we actually think that the Colorado might be a little bit better than the Tacoma, only because, and here's why, but this kind of depends on how you're going to use it. The Tacoma is really better when it comes to driver assist safety features and its reputation for reliability. And that's obviously very important. I believe the Tacoma is going to have a higher resale value.
Right.
And so if you're going to keep your car for a short period of time, your truck for a short period of time, then, you know, go with the Tacoma. But the Colorado has a lot going for it and shouldn't be overlooked because it almost feels like they're trying harder. So Tacoma has been the top truck, you know, in that midsize, used to be compact, now midsize truck segment for so long. When they redesigned theirs, you know, just a short time ago, they kind of played it a little bit conservative. They couldn't go crazy because they don't want to alienate people. It does have engine choices. It does have, you know, a lot going for it. But the Chevy has a diesel engine option, which the Toyota
right.
doesn't have. It feels like the Chevy was trying harder when it comes to the interior. And it feels like the Colorado is what it is, which is we need to prove something. And the Toyota feels more like what it is, which is let's play it safe so not to upset anybody.
Mm.
I think in the end, both trucks are good, but I think the Colorado might be a slight winner here.
Wow, that's heavy stuff, but you said
it. Crazy, right?
Yes, it is, but the fact that you, I know you, and you don't, you know, you don't mess around. The thing is that the diesel option for very many people is going to be a huge option. Toyota, like you said, they've been playing it safe for so long. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of the design of the Tacoma. I don't look at it and go, that's a good-looking truck.
It's not that different, let's be honest. It's not that different from, you know, many, many years. And if you go off-road, the ZR2 in the Colorado is much more aggressive than even the most off-road-friendly Tacoma, which I think is the TRD Pro 4x4.
TRD, right, right. Wow, this is some heavy, big breaking news, I got to tell you. I mean, you know.
It just goes to show. Here's the point, though, is that it just goes to show what was true 10 years ago. Like, if you have an Accord or if you have a Camry or if you have a Malibu, don't just go get the same thing because that might not be the best thing anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I would have no problem owning a Toyota Camry. I have in the past. But test drive everything. Make sure that it is the right car for you because these two trucks, I actually think the Colorado might be a little bit better. The one big thing, though, resale value.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Toyotas are always the value more, always.
Yeah, no question. You can see a Toyota, they say low miles, 200,000 miles. What do you mean low miles? For a Toyota, that is kind of low.
Right.
They'll go so long, you know. All right, when we come back, by the way, you can find a whole story to Toyota Tacoma versus Chevrolet Colorado. Had a hard time spitting that one out. Autotrader.com. Brian Moody's going to be back. They have some new tool called Accelerate. Let's find out about that. This is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
On the track, even 100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
I'll tell you. You know, I mean, what Brian Moody just said about the Toyota Tacoma versus the Chevy Colorado, and he was putting the Colorado in the top position. That makes me concerned. That means I haven't been paying attention. Of course, I haven't driven the Colorado yet, so my kids are big Tacoma fans. Big. But then there's this Ford Ranger that's going to be coming back. Before we get to the Accelerate tool that Auto Trader has, Brian Moody from Auto Trader, he's the executive editor. Just give me a little bit on the new Ford Ranger. You guys have got the inside scoop.
Yeah, so here's some stuff that we know based on, we had our sort of our sister publication, these guys in Australia called Cars Guide, kind of write up what they know about the truck that's already there. And here's a few things that we think are likely to be true about the U.S. version of the Ford Ranger. And who knows, that might even be better than the Colorado and the Tacoma.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Right?
It's hard to tell. I don't think they're going to give a V6 option for the U.S., and I don't think they're going to offer a diesel. I think they're going to give us a 2.3-liter EcoBoost, kind of the same, you know, same engine that's in the Mustang.
Right.
And I think they're probably going to use Ford's new 10-speed automatic transmission. I think they'll probably have a super cab and a super crew. I don't think you'll see a standard cab in the Ranger. Everybody else is kind of doing that. I would look for emergency braking, lane keep assist, lane departure warning, adaptive cruise control, some version of SYNC. There's rumors that there might be a Raptor version of the Ranger. That would be cool. But there definitely would be, if you look at the F-150, there definitely will be some kind of FX off-road package to compete with the TRD Pro and the Colorado ZR2. And, you know, Nissan is still out there with the Nismo. They haven't updated it for a while, but I think that's, you know, I think that's going to come. I think there's going to be an aggressive FX4 off-road type of thing. And we think that it's probably going to be a $25,000 to $35,000 truck. Will include features like 4G Wi-Fi, you know, a big touch screen. It better have Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Otherwise, right. I don't even want to talk to them.
I know.
It will. I'm sure it will.
Yeah. All right. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. You talked about the 2.3 liter EcoBoost engine, 300 horsepower or whatever it is, 305, whatever it is.
Right.
That's a lot of horsepower, right? I mean, the V8 in my F-150 from 2006, I bought a brand new one, was 300 horsepower with a V8. Now they're doing that with four cylinders, and they're giving you, if they do a 10-speed, oh, my God. All right, do me a favor. I got 2.5 minutes till break, and I don't want to forget. Accelerate. You guys, by the way, I see here online there's a whole story on the new Ford Ranger, also Toyota versus the Colorado at autotrader.com. But do me a favor. Give us a little bit on the what is Accelerate? What is that? I know what Accelerate is with a pedal.
Well, here's what it is. It's trying to, like, take away, you know, people go to AutoTrader to shop for actual cars they're going to buy, not necessarily just for fun. Some people do, some people don't. But the idea is to take away sort of the hassle of car buying that you can do, you know, let's say 85-90% of the work, do it at home, apply for credit, compare financing, you know, find out what your trade-in is worth, you know, reserve specific vehicles with a deposit if you want to, and find out what your real monthly payments will be, not just the one you see on television. Because, you know, when you see a lease deal on TV and it says $199 a month, that's for everybody with the world's best credit.
Right.
That's what that is.
Right.
If you don't have the world's best credit, you're not going to get that deal. So you can do all this from the comfort of your own home, go down to the dealership, sign it, and leave if that's what you want to do. If you want to test drive something else, you can. The whole idea is that you do a lot of the initial work sitting in the comfort of your own home, and then you go down there and say, okay, now let's do the real thing.
Mm.
And most people say they want to do that, that they do want to go to a dealer, but they want to start the process at home, go down to the dealer and pick up the keys, and then be done with it.
So okay, it's called Accelerate. How do they find it? Go to autotrader.com, right there?
And you can tell when you go to shop for a car, not every car has it. So only certain cars have that.
Gotcha.
There's a little logo. There's a little, you know, icon. If it says that, you can start the process from the comfort of your own home. It depends on how the dealers want to do it. But the idea is apply for your financing, compare financing options, all that before you even have to go to a dealer. So I think that's a pretty good deal. It just makes the deal go by faster.
All right. That's Brian Moody, executive editor, autotrader.com. Once again, Tacoma versus Colorado. Find it at autotrader.com. A little more about the new Ford Ranger, their sister pub. Publication, I don't want to say pub because they think they're going to go drink beer, has info that is on the inside, the new Ford Ranger at autotrader.com. When we come back next, we're going to talk to George Kennedy III. Brian, thank you.
Yes, sir.
You're the best,
later,
brother. Be good. All right, it's The Drive. We'll be right back.
After all, I knew it had to be something to do with you. I really don't mind what happened.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And joining us now is my buddy George Kennedy III, who also...
Yeah, how we doing?
Hey, man. Also drove the, what is it, the wide body Challenger, the Dodge Challenger wide body.
Man.
Yep. I loved it. I own a Dodge Challenger, so I'll shut up and let you riff on it. Go for it.
Well, it's good to let somebody who doesn't own one get behind the wheel of one so they can sort of give a perhaps unbiased opinion on the vehicle.
Well, and the fact is that I do own one, and I must say that for the fact that there are people that want to buy a Demon that I have, the wide body looks like the Demon except the hood. It's got the wide body. But I got to tell you something. I didn't feel like I was lacking for any power. I honestly, if you got me behind the wheel of my car and then that car side by side, which I didn't do, I just drove the wide body all week, I wouldn't have been able to tell you one was faster than the other unless you took it to the racetrack and did all the Demon stuff to make it a drag race car, which you people that know about Demons understand that. But it has plenty of power. What is it? You know, 707 horsepower. Now with the new Red Eye that everybody's driven. Did you go drive the Red Eye 797?
I have not.
I was supposed to go.
Right.
Yeah, right? So
707 is more than enough.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, come on. But, you know, I'm okay. If I sold my Demon, I would be right into a wide body like this because it's still got that aggressive look, the wider body with the flares they put on it. I would be perfectly happy because I don't go to the racetrack. I dare people to race me on the street, of which I know I'm going to get in trouble for, and lots of people are going to send me hate mail. Go ahead, do it. Go ahead. Anyway, back to you.
Well, this one is for the track kind of, but more of a road track,
right?
Where you're taking corners. The big surprise with this car is that, because of the added width, it can corner pretty well with the adaptive suspension and the multi-mode steering. You know, one of my big critiques last year of the Hellcat was that it felt like an old muscle car when you went to put it into a corner. You add a few more inches, you have the wider rear tires, and all of a sudden that thing can take a corner pretty nice. That was the big surprise with this vehicle.
Right, right. Well, listen, you put those giant wheels and tires on there, that's why they have to make it and call it the wide body. You have to expect it's going to handle a little more like a go-kart, even though it is a big, giant pig. It's a big car. It's like, what is it, 12,000 pounds? It's huge. I don't know. It's overweight.
But,
you know.
But the upshot of that is, compared to the other muscle cars, the Mustang and the Camaro, this actually has the usable back seat and a usable trunk.
Right, right. Well, again, 707 horsepower. It doesn't matter if you're a big, fat, overgrown hog and you can still get, you know, 0 to 60 in, what is that, like 3.5 seconds or something ridiculous, you know?
There's something down along that. I think it's 3.4 seconds or something insane,
It's just crazy. I remember the day when I'm a lot older than you. You could be like my kid. But the point is that I remember when BMW and like the M5 got the first sedan to do under 5 seconds, 0 to 60, and it was like, ooh, God, I can't wait to get behind the wheel of that. And my Demon does 2.3 seconds, the fastest thing in the world. It's like crazy, you know? And then now they got these electric Teslas that'll do 1. Whatever, you know, this is insanity. We're living in automotive insanity. I love it.
So what's funny is the 0 to 60 doesn't really get me going. As you know, I care about road courses,
right,
and cornering, and give me a car 250, 300 horsepower, but it can take a corner, and I'll have fun all day with it. So the fact that this car could actually take a corner well, and you have the performance pages where you can tune everything from the suspension to the steering to the traction control, which I left in the safest setting the entire time, it made for just a more advanced experience, and some of that as a sort of all-around cornering driver I found more rewarding than last year's model.
Well, you know, it's funny because I have two cars in my garage. I have a two-car garage. I have mini cars, all kinds of bizarre things, even a Jag XJ Vandenklaw, which I'm driving today, oddly enough. But I have these two cars in there. I have the Dodge Demon, and I have a Dodge Viper ACR. ACR standing for American Club Racer, and it's an extreme aero package. It's got the giant wings on it and everything. And, you know, this car is obviously... it's a car built for the twisties, going through the curves and corners. And, you know, I have one designed for curves and corners and one designed for straight lines. And as far as I'm concerned, for the dollars I've spent on these two cars, these are the two most ultimate machines, because I have a ultimate muscle car and an ultimate cornering car that are both affordable. I mean, literally, I was looking the other day, Aston Martin's got a new, you know, I love Aston Martin. I would love an Aston Martin, but I would not take an Aston Martin over my two cars. $300,000, right? So I didn't even spend that on mine. I got like, what is it, like $250,000 full retail for those two cars. And you can have one, or you could spend $1 million on a Koenigsegg or something like that, or $2 million. So I don't know. For the dollar spent, American Muscle still has my heart.
Well, right. And each one of those, as you said, is an extreme expression of the different type of style of driving. You got your straight line power. You got your cornering. I mean, that Viper is just extreme everything.
Yeah.
But what's cool is that, yeah, you're right. For the price of less than one of those cars, you have, you know, choose your own adventure. Do you want to go in a straight line and scare the crap out of your friends and family, or do you want to go around a track and scare the crap out of your friends and family?
Exactly. All right, hang tight. George Kennedy. Yeah, our show is brought to you in part by Dodge, but George's not sponsored by Dodge. He doesn't have to love them the way I do, but I don't have to love them either. I could say you're fired, but you're not fired because I love them. We'll be right back. It's The Drive.
On the range, they got a lot of nice girls.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
It's the Dodge Summer Clearance Event. Hurry in and make summer sizzle with Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower. Blister the road with Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class, or Dodge Durango. Want something even hotter? Get up to 6 months of Apple Music on us when you join the Brotherhood of Muscle at the Dodge Summer Clearance Event. Based on Ward's Middle Specialty Vehicle segment, visit Dodge.com/Apple for details. Apple is a registered trademark of Apple Inc. Apple is not a sponsor of this promotion. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, our show is sponsored. That's how it gets out to the world. That's how I make my living. I purposely only have the best sponsors, companies that I use, products that I use with pride. You hear me talk about Craftsman, about Dodge, about Subaru, about Shell and Pennzoil. You know, it's like, I keep it simple. The biggest tire manufacturer in the world is Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires that you can count on when it matters most. Another one of my great sponsors. Thank you, Bridgestone. Thanks to Subaru and Dodge and Craftsman and all those guys. If I forgot somebody, I apologize. Right now with us is George Kennedy III. He is with Car Gurus. Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report. Guy's an animal.
That's right, man.
You're an animal.
I try.
You know, I mean, radio and sponsors and all that. Every now and then I get uncomfortable with it, but I am so proud of the sponsors that I have. I can't even tell you. And even the ones I don't have anymore, like Meguiar's Car Wax. Barry Maguire's like freaking Uncle Barry to me. He's my family now. And, you know,
awesome.
Maguire's been around since 1901. He's still the family name and everything, but they've been bought by 3M. I'll be with him at Pebble Beach next weekend for the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance. This weekend, I am in Reno for Hot August Nights. So, yeah, we taped this a little bit early so I could be in Reno on August 9th. George Kennedy, anyway, you drove a Lexus NX. What is that?
So that's the Lexus compact crossover SUV, and it's below the RX, which is a super popular crossover, sort of their entry-level crossover. And eventually it's even smaller with the UX coming out in a while. But this is a compact crossover. It competes with vehicles like the Acura RDX, which was another vehicle that I drove recently. So it was a nice little back-to-back, sort of seeing what the two companies are doing. Pretty tight rivals. They're both competing for a big piece of the compact crossover space. So it was interesting
Doing. Hold it. Here's the deal. Lexus and Acura are like Ford and Chevy, or Lincoln and Cadillac because they're the premium brand, right? So these are major competitors. And you drove...
This is the Hatfields and the McCoys.
There you go. So, I mean, was there one that you kind of preferred over the other? Can I say that?
Well, I hate to offer a nuanced answer, but there were things about each one that I liked and things about each one that drove me nuts.
Okay, let's start about what drove you nuts about the Lexus NX, and then I'll ask you what you like.
Sure. So the NX was pretty small, and I'm 6'3", right?
Oh, yeah.
So
it's you're 6'3" and 5 foot around. I get it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Right, but at the same time, you got to remember that these cars are being designed and sometimes built in America, but designed for the American market. So you got to remember, we're the biggie culture, man. We supersize everything.
Right.
So even for the compact vehicles that are out there, they're still designed or should be designed to sort of accommodate larger drivers. My head was hitting the ceiling of the car just barely with my hat on, and I couldn't lower the vehicle any further.
All right. So he wears a big cowboy hat. You guys can picture that.
Yeah.
All right. Because of time, give me what you liked about the Lexus NX.
Super, great attention to detail, nice soft touch materials.
Yeah,
I thought it cornered pretty well. It drove great on the highway. It was quiet. And as far as the glut of sort of infotainment systems out there, this was one of their proprietary ones called, I think, Moat Touch and Enform. And it's pretty manageable and easy to learn and easy to figure out.
All right, how much money?
This one came in at $45,000. That was for the Lexus 300 all-wheel drive. That's with the turbocharged 2-liter engine. And it's 235 horsepower, which is more than enough power.
All right, give me 2 minutes. Start out with how much is the Acura RDX?
So the Acura RDX starts at $37,300. The one that we drove was the A-Spec. So that's sort of hotter wheels and tires. It was all white with sort of dark accents. You go inside, it has this bright red, Solo Cup red seating. It was super fetching, great looking car. Handles well, drives great.
What did you not like handling about it?
Well, the big thing I didn't like about it was the infotainment system. They have a new system called True Touchpad.
Uh-huh.
It replaces the other system from Lexus that I hated, which was the double screen system.
Wait a minute. So we're talking about the Acura, and you talked about the one in the Lexus, so you're going back and forth on me.
So this replaces the old Acura infotainment system, which had two screens, and that was terrible. And this new system called True Touchpad, sort of mimicking the Lexus remote touch system, it's kind of like the same system, but it's not. It's a variation. You can tell that they were trying to target the Lexus system when they made this. It's really clunky. First of all, there's no tuning dial. There's a little tiny volume knob. You want to change the channel, it's a pain in the butt. You want to save a preset, it's a pain in the butt. So there's a very steep learning curve.
All right. Well, this one, as tested, it started out at $37,000 for the Acura RDX. What was the one you drove?
Our sticker price was $6,495.
How much? $46,000?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. So we're talking, and that's the average price of these. These are like midsize, right?
This is par for the course for the compact segment. And the thing is, compare it to the BMW X3 or Audi Q5, those Germans started a little bit higher, and with options, I mean, you're going up thousands of dollars
more. Oh, yeah, $50,000, $60,000 easy. And you can spend $150,000 if you talk about a Maserati that does 0 to 60 in 3 seconds or whatever they're doing these days. All right, that's what we should all be doing, by the way. When you're going to go out and spend $45,000, go out and test drive cars back to back. George Kennedy III, thank you! Yeah, wow! There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely. Well, the This is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for hanging with us. I don't know where you are in America or around that world, but we're talking to you from my radio studio, which we talk about cars from. Cars and Motorsports. I was going to say the worldwide headquarters of The Drive. I guess that's what it is. Ed Justice Jr. is out there somewhere in that world, but we're all connected through the interwebs. Our show brought to you in part by Craftsman, and I'm going to be doing a big event with Craftsman. They got 1,200 new tools, 1,200 new tools, and a brand new owner. Stanley Black & Decker owns them now. It's pretty cool. Ed Justice Jr., some big, fat news out there. Last weekend, of course, it's been a week ago. Last weekend, Brian France, on Sunday of last week, the CEO of NASCAR, got arrested for a DUI. What is that going to mean to him and NASCAR? I'm sure they're going to have some disciplinary actions on him. He may have been at a party, had a few too many, wine, God knows what, a couple too many beers. Yeah, NASCAR, beer. He could have, but they also had, they said they found some, some painkillers or whatever it was. But what is it really going to mean at the end of the day to Brian France and NASCAR?
Well, it's been announced that he's taking an indefinite leave. It's not going to be good. NASCAR, for Brian anyway, Brian France is at the tip of the spear, as we could say. There's a whole, pretty large structure that's below Brian France of great people that make that traveling, figuratively, circus, and not saying that as a joke, but really, auto racing, these series are like the traveling circus. They drive in with the 18-wheelers and all. There's a whole staff of people that are great people. I've worked with so many of them and worked with some of them. I saw some that at a related entity, IMSA, this weekend and or last weekend in Road America, Wisconsin, which is a NASCAR property, another sanctioning body for road racing. But NASCAR, figuratively, has always been very, very tough on substance abuse. And that can come in any form of any substance. And, Brian's situation involves apparently two substances, alcohol and painkillers. Obviously, we don't know quite what was going on there. It's sad news to me. I feel very, very sorry for anybody who suffers from a substance abuse problem. It's not the first time we've seen this in auto racing. By no means does that make it good or okay. So, the entity NASCAR, it will continue on.
Sure.
Definitely not a good thing for it, but, I don't know. It's just very, very unfortunate. It's been reported that he was over the limit twice.
Twice. Do you remember when, what's his name, NHRA, Tom Compton, who was the president of CEO of NHRA, National Hot Rod, drag racing, right?
Right.
He had a DUI. This was, a decade ago or so.
I think he actually ended up with two.
Yeah,
but
well,
I can remember for sure one.
You and I actually were working together with Road and Track magazine at the time, and we were going to a bunch of those races, and I actually was getting ready to talk to them about doing a radio show with you for the NHRA, and then boom, he had a DUI. Tom Compton, that's who we were dealing with. Brian France, third generation. His grandfather was, and your father and uncles were there when NASCAR started. So this is kind of near and dear to you, but this is an interesting time for racing, for motorsport in general. I wonder if the pressure of, can you imagine being in his shoes with what's going on in the world of racing with electric cars and electric racing? And, it's like, what in the world kind of pressure was that guy under? And or was he just out with his buddies having a beer and, gosh, I don't know about you. I'm not this way, but I have buddies that can drink a six pack of beer like it's, like it's nothing. And then they go after a second six pack. This kind of behavior, obviously, is when you have a job like he has, is perhaps better off to, call somebody to give you a ride home, obviously. But the pressure that this man is under, and a lot of people that are in these kind of roles, is tremendous. And of course, our easy go-to comfort thing for many people, not me, not you, Ed, But is you know, the comfort foods or alcohol or whatever it's going to be. In his case, obviously, a few too many to drink. But I don't know. I you know, you don't. What do they say? Don't judge an Indian until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. We don't really know what's going to happen.
I don't know if the excuse, though, you're under a lot of pressure. Him being under a lot of pressure, though, also means that he gets paid a lot of money and he has a lot of things that are available to him that aren't available to the average person in the community. And so he has access to things. And so, you know, there's always a yin and yang or pro and con to everything.
But don't get me wrong. I'm not making excuses for the pressure. I'm trying to like analyze, you know, what the heck happened. There could be marital problems, could be anything, you know?
But, you know, I mean, I have to say that, you know, I mean, I'm around people and parties and all, but I have to say in my life anymore, I don't really see people getting into cars that shouldn't be driving. And maybe it's because of who I hang around with. I don't know. And I'm not trying to state like I'm hanging around, you know, perfect people or whatever. But people are so aware today of, you know, the downside of drinking and then hopping into a motor vehicle and risking not only your own life, but the life of somebody else, an innocent party.
Yeah.
And typically so many times in these wrecks that involve people under the influence of some controlled substance, it's the innocent party that so many times ends up getting killed.
Yeah.
And the person that caused the accident just seems to walk away so many times.
Right,
so there's no fairness in that.
Yep. All right. Listen, we're going to watch and track with what goes on with the CEO of NASCAR, Brian France. Been there since 2003 as a CEO. He is definitely going to have some soul searching. And NASCAR, of course, is going through that same kind of soul searching right now with him because, you know, when you're part of a big family like that, you hurt when your family hurts. So obviously, people, the smart thing to do, no matter what's going on in your life, don't turn to drugs and alcohol and, you know, to soothe those pains because, you know, no good could come from it. None. Because when you wake up from it, the pain is still there, you know. So seek help. That's at the end of the day what you need to do. We'll take a little break. Godspeed to whatever's going on there with Brian France and his family. We'll take a little break. Come back with more Ed Justice Jr. here on The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider the source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And our show brought to you in part by Subaru Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I always say just ask somebody that owns one. Ed Justice Jr. is joining us still. He is a dear old friend of mine. You dear old man, you.
Boy, oh boy.
I was trying to be nice there, dear old friend. You know, that didn't come out. Ed's a buddy. He's a pal. Not a drinking buddy, because neither one of us drink for the most part. But anyway, so what else has been going on? Did you tell me about a Ferrari documentary or something you saw? What was that, by the way?
Yeah, well, I on the flight to Road America Racetrack in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin this weekend, I had a chance on the airplane to watch this new Ferrari documentary. And it's called Ferrari, Race to Immortality. And it's basically about Ferrari in about 1955 to 58, believe it or not, about 4-year period there. And it's really about racing in the 50s and how many drivers got killed and the danger and the romance and the glamour. And, you know, it's a time that we'll never, ever, ever see again.
Let me ask you, is it on Netflix or anything where people can find it?
Boy, that's a good question. Yeah. I don't know. I will tell you this. I want to buy the DVD because it is really that good. I mean, there's a certain amount of gore, and, you know, to sort of use a overused term, there's death and destruction in
it.
And it's because 1955, of course, contained the worst racing accident in the history of the sport at Le Mans, where 80 spectators got killed.
Whew.
And there is plenty of footage of that in there and an analysis of what happened. But it's a very human story because Mike Hawthorne, who was involved in that whole incident and ended up winning the Le Mans that year, it follows him and Peter Collins, his teammate at Ferrari at one time. And I mean, it's just fantastic. It's very, very well done. You know, I mean, there have been recently a lot of really well-done auto racing, motorsport documentaries.
Right.
And this is just the latest.
Well, what's it called again?
Ferrari Race to Immortality, or as they say, Ferrari.
Ferrari. Okay, now, I got another one. Ferrari. I know you're a book maniac. You you author books yourselves, but what about this one, All My Porsche Races, from Derek Bell? Did you review that yet?
Yeah, it just came out. You know, I know Derek. I know his son, Justin, very well.
Oh, yeah.
I spent time with him at Le Mans this year. Justin got me hooked up with a hotel room, and I had dinner with he and Derek and Jackie Eakes several times over the period of the race weekend. And so I have a close affinity. Of course, Derek is a hero of mine. I had a chance to interview him a few years back. He's just a fantastic human being, just a regular guy, salt of the earth, no ego, just a fantastic man.
Yep.
And this is really for endurance racing, 60s racing, 70s racing, 80s racing, which Derek's history goes, and even into the 90s. He covers, you know, four decades easy there. And any Porsche fan, this is a great book. I mean, it's got unbelievable photography. And, of course, me being a motorsports photographer, I have a great appreciation for that. There are some great photographs in here. And there is a lot of behind-the-scenes talk about this race, that race, what happened here, working with this driver, et cetera. You know, like part one in the book is from 917 to 935.
Right.
Those two models of racing Porsches are icons. I mean, those cars sell for millions of dollars today. They are forever cemented in the annals of racing history. It's a fantastic book. Derek Bell,
what's it
All
called?
My Porsche okay. Races.
All Derek My Porsche Bell, Races.
All okay. My Porsche gotcha. Races.
All right. Now, before we go, I'm sure you have a lot more information for those who are racing fanatics. Where can the world find you? I know that you're also, by the way, everybody, he is a fantastic photographer. Give us that. We're going to run out of time here.
Okay. You can really, Instagram's sort of my best playground, and you can find me at Ed Justice Jr. That's EDJUSTICEJR. Or my new account, additional account, at Leica Justice. That's LEICA. JUSTICE, where I'm doing nothing but photography shot with a Leica rangefinder camera.
Fantastic. Ed Justice Jr., Justice Brothers, America's brand for quality, been around for, God, I don't know what, 80, 85, 150 years. I don't know. Anyway, thank you, Ed.
All righty, Alan.
Oh, you're an animal. All right, guys, that's about it for me this week. This is The Drive. Visit us at The Drive with Alan Taylor on Facebook or .com. The Drive with Alan Taylor. We'll see you next week. Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a mid-sized sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.